This is a Pinball News production.
A few weeks ago, or, you know, what am I going to talk about? I did a service call. Very typical. Let me go back 15, 20 years ago. I had my, just beginning the store, I had a friend come into the store and said he was going to fix up his basement. And I had just finished my basement. And a designer by the name of Randy Taylor, who does absolutely beautiful work. In fact, he retired from being a school teacher so he could do these basements full time, because that was his passion. And I sold, my friend is Jan Doremus. I sold him a Captain Fantastic. He lived on West River Road, beautiful house. Chance Test sold him a Seaberg C. Steve Engel sold him a dozen back glasses, which he had built into the bar and around the wall, back illuminated. Really nice. Well, anyway, Jan Doremus passed away about 5-6 years ago, and his stuff went up for auction. And I sell a machine and do a service call on West River Road, and two doors down from where Jan used to live. So I started thinking about Jan and said a little prayer for him. Okay, that was a Sunday. On Tuesday, my wife is going through some old pictures and finds a picture of my son, about 8 years old, in a fancy basement. And she said, "That's not our basement." I said, "No, that's Jan Doremus' basement. Chad used to come with me on service calls." About an hour later, I'm at the store. I have a Captain Fantastic on the floor. Someone calls up, saw it on the website, and we talk about the condition and its price, and he agrees to buy it. I have no idea if this guy's in California or on the other side of town. Do you want it shipped or do you want it delivered? "No, I live on West River Road." "Do you have a fancy basement?" "Yes." "Do you live where Jan Doremus used to live?" That is synchronicity. Synchronicity is the experience of two or more events meaningfully related, and they are unlikely causally related. But it blew me away. 2 days later, I'm at my doctor's office. I tell him this little story, and he tells me, "That's synchronicity." I had never heard of that term before. So I start looking it up, and my spiritual world is totally rocked. And I start looking back, and synchronicity has been happening in my life a lot. And Ron and I will witness these things. And coincidences are miracles where God remains anonymous. And they're just absolutely amazing. I had a friend who wanted to go up to a canoe trip on the Muskegon River, which is about an hour west of Saginaw, Michigan, and had a wonderful time. And we do, and it's the Recovering Maniacs is the name of the group, and they do it twice a year. And I decided I'm going to go again. I have a customer coming to the store and likes my Adams Family. "Where do you live?" "I live in Saginaw." "When would you like it delivered?" "As soon as you can." And it just happens to be 6 months later, I am driving to my canoe trip, and I'll be going right past this guy's house. Is that coincidence? You're a funny guy. My wife is a big Faith Hill fan. And Faith Hill and Tim McGraw are doing this show at the Venetian in Las Vegas. And so as a thought, last year I got it for Christmas when we ended up going to Vegas. Now I have a American Airlines credit card. And when we were first married, we decided that we were going to spend our 25th anniversary in Hawaii. That never happened, but we've been using our credit card for years, and I've got hundreds of thousands of miles built up. they announce, that the Venetian announces that Tim and Faith are going to do another show. And she says, can we go? Can we go? And I said, this brings up the conversation of, do we use our credit card miles for Vegas or Hawaii? Now, John Hogue, a customer extraordinaire, and his brother Jim, who happens to live in Hawaii, and he comes to the show. And for years we've been talking about, hey, let me come to Hawaii and I'll do a service call on your machines. So my wife and I are talking about going, should we use the miles for Hawaii or Las Vegas? Tickets go on sale on Tuesday. And this is like Thursday or Friday. Saturday, John walks in with his brother Jim from Hawaii. Is this coincidence? This is synchronicity. And just... Okay, now I've been thrilled with this idea, and Robbie was going to ask me, what are you going to talk about? And in the past, I've talked about things that are current in my life, like dealing with clutter and other 12-step programs. And I thought, well, you guys want to hear about pinball tips, so that's why it was synchronicity and pinball tips. My favorite tool is Memory Board. And for years, I've been working hard at scrounging, going to county fairs and finding political... Because the store-bought Emery boards are not as good as the cheap advertising kind. And when you condition them, what I do is I'll take an EM machine and pull out the harness plugs, and I will rub the grit and the sand off. So when you condition these. And I've always had this fantasy of, wouldn't it be nice to buy my own imprinted Emery boards? Now, I have my pens, and I'm sure anyone's familiar with pens. They get free samples from pens.com. I go to a Chamber of Commerce meeting, and I'm sitting next to a guy who does premiums. And so we get into this conversation of, oh, yeah, I'd like to have my very own imprinted Emery board. So the conversation comes up. I'm aware of it. And I asked him for some prices, and it was like $3 for $1. That seems awfully expensive. And in my head, I'm thinking, okay, I've seen the catalog for pens.com. I'm curious what they would charge for imprinted Emery boards. I come back from lunch. Within an hour, I get a random phone call from the sales rep at pens.com saying, you haven't placed an order lately. Do you guys have Emery boards? Yeah, they're nickel apiece. Coincidence? Synchronicity? You're a funny guy. And so, yeah.
All you have to do is explain to anyone who wants to find out what the Emery board is. File to run public office. You get so many catalogs, campaigns, paraphernalia, and there'll be Emery boards in there.
Okay, the suggestion was if you let a supplier know that you're going to be running for political office and they'll be sending you free.
You don't have to really campaign. Just file, and they'll get public notice to file, and they'll choose that.
Okay. Well, enough about my babble here. Let's get to those who want some pinball tips. I'm going to pass it over to Ron.
I was coming up with this idea that would it be funny just to rattle off 50-some-odd pinball tips in a half an hour, but Scott's speech, and it would not make sense. It would be like too much brain matter squeezed in such a short amount of time. But I thought, why not I rattle off some of the few things that I use commonly every day? And I started taking some notes, and I'm thinking, everybody can use some of these things that we use around the house. One thing that I like to use when I'm shopping out games is I'll keep a 9-volt battery on hand. Anybody know what it's for? I use it for testing the lamps on the game. And nobody likes to throw away, a perfectly good bulb. Another one while doing the shop out job, they got the fancy bulb extractors. Use that plunger tip. There's plenty of them around. This is one that can get a little confusing, but I do this all the time when I'm troubleshooting circuit boards and you don't have the proper tools with you. You ever get a computer board that doesn't boot up? You don't know if it's running or not, but you know your soundboard is? I used my finger and actually placed it on the amplifier and run it across the peripheral adapters. This will actually generate a really weird harmonic tone, and sometimes you can actually hear the click pulse on the processor that's running. Normally I'm used to hearing these, you know, tones that generate from a low to a high bandwidth, which is our clock sweep. If you don't hear it, or if it doesn't sound similar on other chips, we can normally narrow down which chip is bad. It's very similar to using a logic probe, but if anybody wants to know more about that, just look for me through the show, and I'll explain a little more detail how that works. This is a good one. You ever see dot matrix with lines out? Don't trash it. Go to Radio Shack and get a repair kit, or the little circuit writers. Don't have them sell you a cell phone. That's the only thing I'd ask. My favorite, the oldie but goodie. In fact, somebody asked me how to fix a problem on a game yesterday, and I was like, get your cell phone out and check your Optos, because he had one that wasn't firing right. And he never thought about that. Speaking of cell phone apps, I think we mentioned this last year when we were talking about things in your toolbox. Get the ElectroDroid app for your Droid. It's got a lot of useful information in there from resistor codes, if you haven't memorized them. The iPhone, iPad users, you can get the Electronic Toolbox Pro. It may not be a free app, but it's got a lot of wealthy information in it. One thing we do in the store is we got rid of all the battery holders. It's a company policy and company law that every game, no battery on board, everything's external. We're tired of repairing boards with damage. Don't be afraid to go to Radio Shack and, of course, get a battery holder and some extra wire and make a long battery holder. And, of course, don't ask for the free cell phone. I'm serious. They will try to sell you one. Yeah.
Jenko and Hank got rid of the battery pack four.
You could do that as well. I mean, people that are in a bind. We actually buy ours through Mouser. By the hundreds, I think like 100 at a time. They're like 25 cents or so a piece. And then just extend the leads. One thing we also recommend is, you know, like when working on a pinball machine, take the damn balls out of the playfield. How many people have broken plastics by doing that? Has anybody broken a glass yet? I have not yet, so. Okay, you ever see the one you get missing lines on some dot matrix? Obviously, that's either a cracked solder joint or a break on the actual wire between the glass and the display board. If you get lucky, sometimes you can actually salvage that by using a circuit writer pen, which is basically epoxy and a silver implement. It'll recreate the trace. I don't recommend doing it while it's on, because you can arc with other traces and do damage to the driver IC behind it. I have not shorted one out yet doing that, but it can happen.
Do you file the glass?
We could file the glass if there's enough point to get to it. I'll give you one more, and then you got. You ever have extra parts in the bottom of your game? Don't throw them away. They're useful. You'll see tons of screws changed down there that the kids put in, thinking it was a coin-op game, and pay for the service call in the future.
So what is that clutter?
Yeah. It's only that, clutter, well, if you don't have a place to put it.
That's the games that you get that people don't sweep out. We've gotten into the habit of actually sweeping out every game and storing all the parts in a small bag or something inside the game.
Yeah. Carl Jung is a psychologist from the 20s. In 30s, and he was the one who coined the phrase synchronicity. And he tried to apply scientific principle, trying to prove that synchronicity exists. And he got hung up in going in all sorts of directions of ESP and psychics and magic and the occult, the Ouija boards, and that That was during the era of Harry Houdini, and you know, the nation was enthralled by this magic. He got really hung up, and trying to read his book called Synchronicity is just way too weird. One of his students, Ira Prograf, worked with Carl Jung and tried to make sense of it. And he went back into ancient Chinese, I Ching, where there are 64... If you want to find out more, you can, you know, Google that. I was first introduced to The Secret. There's a book, a movie, DVD, and where you get what you wish for. You can materialize things. And in a way, that's kind of where I'm going. But I really don't want to because, you know, like, you know, the Bud Light commercials now with, you know, the superstition, it's only crazy if it doesn't work. And synchronicity with the wish fulfillment and the answers to prayers, miracles and healings. However, there is that unknown factor. I think it's an attitude of gratitude. Dave was talking about yesterday that someone asked him about try to find a Sea Raider. And he gets a call from someone who wants to sell him a Sea Raider. That is more than just coincidence. And that happens to us all the time at the store. A customer will ask about a game. We'll get a phone call in a week. Or we'll get a circuit board that needs to be repaired. And we don't have a machine of that vintage that needs to be tested. And in a week, comes in the door. Now, with The Secret, Joe Vitale, who was one of the contributors, did an audio thing called The Missing Secret. And that was very instrumental to me. And also there's God Winks is a series of books by Squire Rushnell. And instead of calling coincidences, they're more co-occurrences. And last year or the year before, I made mention of the thing that Ron and I were talking about. You know, it was just before Expo, and gee, I wonder if Roland's going to be coming by. And boom, Roland walks in the door within 5 minutes. Now, you know, to turn a situation, you have to try to understand the meaning of the occurrence. And chances are, with the causality, and you can go back and trace the reasons why. But there is something else that goes on. When I'm starting to get overwhelmed with the synchronicity, I love to journal. In fact, what I've been working on is I've been journaling all these synchronous events in my life. And a guy walks into my store with a blank journal with Dr. Scott on it, and he's seen me at Expo and saw this and thought I would appreciate it. I'll pass it back to you.
Okay. I've got a few more. Here's some. You guys got games that are en route and sometimes in your home that you want to keep clean. I try to keep soft cloth and, of course, citrus cleaner. Clean up your bands and make them look nice again. Plays, rejuvenates the bands. We use that a lot, especially when doing quick shop jobs out, especially when we get games in the service amount to make sure they're working bright. Do the bands look okay? Do they need to be changed? If they're looking fine, we'll do a quick job like that. Here's another one that I do. Since I do a lot of board level work, you know, replacing ICs, I recommend that anybody that's never done it before, don't try to use the big fat soldering irons. Clip the parts off the board. Tap the part, you know, the hole, you know, the excessive crap out of the holes, and then use solder wick to clean out the holes, and of course socket chips. Since we do a lot of shopping out, you get a lot of weird games that may not have, you know, you might not have enough posts. If you got faded ones, hide them in the back of the game. Nobody will see them, especially under plastics. One of my favorite things that I do on all my games, I protect all the slingshots. using washers under the corners of them. It's nothing like trying to find a plastic that you can't find anymore. I'm sure there's going to be some out there because people are reproducing them all the time. Another one that I like to use a lot, especially when repairing general illumination strands, I'm sure you've seen them that get all burnt up to the point where there's nothing left. Go ahead and use your soldering braid and use that as a trace and rebuild the tracings. You can push that through the hole, push a new edge connector through it, and it's just like new again. This is one we stress a lot in the store. Never oil any moving parts. How many has ever actually oiled a solenoid before? I'm sure there's someone out there that's done it. We've had to fix them. This is one we do on every game we sell. Replace all the leg levelers. There's nothing like trying to adjust a game when the leg leveler does not move. If you ignore it, what happens? Causes your carpet, rust on the carpet, do damage to the carpet. We also recommend putting rubber cups on the bottom of them, especially if you've got expensive floors. They can be purchased from like Twisted Quarter, Hap, Bay Area Amusements. This is one I won't go into too much detail. I'm sure people have actually had games that reboot. We've actually got a process that we use while troubleshooting these type of games, especially the Williams. We try to recap the power supply first and then do the bridge work. I'm sure you've seen it where it still reboots. We go to the next level and actually lower the threshold on the watchdog on the computer board. Some people say that's dangerous, but most electronics nowadays that run on 5 volts have a low threshold, about 4.7, 4.6 volts before they start screwing up. And we actually lower the watchdog to 4.4.
How do you do that?
That's a secret.
No.
You can actually get custom levels on the watchdog. I can get you the actual value for the transistor if you want. But we've actually used that on most of our games, and it solves 90% of the reboot problems. And, of course, the other 10% is those that use the extension cords on the games. In theory, because it's actually watching the 5-volt level, and, of course, if it dips too low, the computer thinks there's something wrong and then restarts. I can explain it later if you want to look for me through the show, and I can give you more details on how that works. Clay's done a write-up on it once on his website. I kind of went a little farther with it, tried to test the threshold on the Williams powers in your computers, and I found that 4.4 is pretty safe to a point on that level. A lot of it's the actual surge when you use your flippers. But I've also seen other devices do that too, especially if you got magnets in it. A game that was really notorious for it, No Fear. You had the three magnets in the upkick. Not necessarily a high voltage, solenoid high voltage circuit. This is one I had to do not too long ago, stuttering flippers. Check for a bad winding in your coil. Of course, the Williams side, dirty optics. And I got one more that really stumped me and Scott. We actually just fixed this one on a cue ball wizard. We kept blowing the same damn coil and could not figure out what it was. Even we transported the play field to the customer's house, and it did the same thing in his game. We actually found out that Gottliebs are really whiny about the switch matrix. If you've got one or two switches stuck down, especially like in the cue ball area, replace them. We found that when the switches were stuck, it kept energizing the coil because the software thought there was something wrong.
Okay. Now going back to more... I was telling Gary Flower about what I was going to be talking about, and he said, well, that's just going to be an excuse for amusing anecdotes. And it is. Had a local pinhead who came into the store, was chatting, and he said that he had this Pinball 2000 monitor that he picked up a couple years ago, and he's never used it and doubts if he'll ever need it. So if we ever need a Pinball 2000 monitor, he'll sell it to us for $100. In about 2 weeks, I'm at an auction at a family entertainment center that was closing, and they only had about three or four pinball machines. And one was a Episode One with a bad monitor. It went cheap, and Actually, I should have called Scott to make sure he still had the monitor before I bought the machine, but I bid on the machine, got it, and then on the way home. And Ron did an absolutely beautiful job of restoring it.
You know, what's really funny about that is when Scott said, this thing doesn't have a monitor, it works right. And the Scott, the other Scott that worked for us, who had the monitor, was missing the control board, and we had the control board, and that was 2 weeks prior to that. So somehow down the chain, it actually worked out where we made another game live using the resources.
How are we doing on time? Well, our first store was haunted. When we had a little 1,500 square foot store in uptown Maumee. In fact, Maumee is very instrumental in the War of 1812. And I actually had some Ghostbusters from Detroit come down to our store. And you could feel the presence in that shop. And all the, you know, they talk about EM, you know, the EM meters and, well, with electrical, you know, with the machines, you're going to. But at the new store, we haven't had anything like that. But I had a customer who bought a, put $100 down on a Pashy Slow machine, and we stuck it up front. And my bookkeeper wanted me to go through my accounts receivable and looked at, and I gave this person a call, and oh, she didn't want that Pashy Slow anymore. And, well, you have a $100 deposit on it. Now, no refunds on deposit, so I'll give you full credit towards another machine. So her son comes into the store and buys a machine. And again, we wait months for the delivery. So I'm finally delivering the guy's machine. And while I'm setting up the machine, he makes mention of, oh, did my friend ever come over and talk about wanting a gun game? And so, well, yeah, there was a guy who was in a few days ago. Within minutes of that conversation, Ron texts me that he sold the gun game. I think these little coincidences happen all the time to everybody. You need to be aware of them. And what I would like to try doing, if anything has happened in your life that is more than one or two coincidences relating to pinball, please, you know, email me, or I would love to hear more of these stories. So thank you very much. And if you want to talk more about, oh, yeah, the thing with the second store, my first store ended up being with a bead shop. And about a year later, I went in. They had fixed it all up real nice, and I wanted to see what it was like. And I made mention, had you felt any, you know, presence? And she, why do you say? It was, and I said, we felt that too. And she told me the story of there was, she had necklaces, and she was working late, and there was a necklace on a hook that worked its way off and fell to the floor. Yeah. With that, I'll pass.
If you need any more tips, just let me know today.